Coming up next on KSEO, it's the Dr. Future Show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show. Dr. Future, a.k.a. Al Lundell, and Mrs. Future, a.k.a. Sun, Acme Lundell.
I'm here, live and in the studio with you.
I can see you now behind the monitor.
Yes, I know. We have so much gear between us.
I know. It's like we could be in different places, and it wouldn't matter on some level, but
it would
actually,
to me.
Yeah.
What is it? Gearheads, somehow you guys always prefer these high-tech inventions to, like, the real cushy, real person.
Listen, I love Meat Space. Don't get me wrong. Meat Space is the gold standard for communications. I live in Santa Cruz, not Silicon Valley. I know how important it is to actually have good social dynamics.
Social dynamics, right. Yes. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. And meat-to-meat connections are the best.
I'm so glad you think of me as a meat-to-meat connection.
Whoa.
It's just so flattering.
You're more than that. You're more than that to me.
Oh, you are to me, too. Anyway, I suppose you're all excited because of the big announcements from Apple today.
I wish I was more excited.
Oh.
But we have our Machead expert on all things Mac and iOS in the studio already today, so I thought we might bring him on right away for the top of the news. Because it is kind of interesting, the new announcement. So we have Taylor Barcroft in the studio. Taylor, are you there?
Sorry,
hi.
That was a big surprise.
Hi, everybody.
There. Yes. Hi, Taylor.
Taylor is quite knowledgeable on Mac. He's been tracking it since the very first Mac, and he's been observing the evolution of this technology and is going to give us a download on these new phones that just came out today from Apple.
Yeah, when I think of people who are truly devoted to all things Mac, Taylor comes to mind. He's at the top of the list.
Taylor. I was first in the queue at the Stanford store on Saturday morning.
Oh, you were this Saturday morning.
What'd you get?
All I got was a T-shirt in the wrong size.
Oh.
So
you stood in line for a T-shirt in the wrong size?
No, it was, it's just sharing in the, it's really a beautiful store. If you get a chance to
Well, that's another thing entirely, right?
Yeah, it's fun to watch the opening. You know, they bring in all kinds of extra people from all over the Bay Area, extra.
This is their flagship store.
Oh, really? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about it.
Like, I don't know about flagship, but
here.
It's a really beautiful new glass, all glass surrounding the front room, and then there's a room behind it. And they've got the new Genius Bar is just a long table with benches on both sides, stools. You know, the stools like you're used to sitting at a Genius Bar, except they're on both sides. So the Genius may be sitting next to a client or across from the client. It just depends. It's not... There's no Genius territory anymore. So it's wide open. And
that makes it more friendly?
Yeah, really? More intimate, I think, in the learning process.
All right, so where's the new store again in Palo Alto?
It's at the Stanford Shopping Center between Macy's and Neiman Marcus and right next to the Sony store. And it's just a beautiful location. It's right by the parking structure there.
And how does it compare, say, to the New York store? Or is there anything extra pizzazzy about it?
No, not really. It's just two rooms, two large rooms. I guess the most pizzazzy part is it's just got a huge amount of glass surrounding the front room. And you're drawn into it because of the glass. You can see everybody in there.
Can you walk to it from downtown Palo Alto? Or do you have to...
Well, you could walk. It's not
the other side of the tracks.
It's in the shopping center, the Stanford Shopping Center.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's very interesting. And
let's get on to the news today.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we have two new iPhones. One is the iPhone 5C, which is now a very high quality plastic colored model with different color choices. You get your choice of yellow, red, blue, green, or white.
Now, that was rumored to exist, right? The 5C was supposed to be the cheaper iPhone that was full functionality, but it was cheaper for some reason. And why is it cheaper?
It's not that much cheaper. They're going to be $100 for 16 gig and $200 for 32 gig. Those are subsidized prices on two-year contracts.
The 5C, what does the C stand for? Cheap?
Color, I think.
Color, yeah.
It's really, the 5C specs are similar or about the same as the 5.
Ah, okay. So there's no 5. They've gotten rid of the 5.
Well, they're going to drop the 5, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there might be, I don't know, a 16 gig 5 might hang around for 200. I'm not sure. I don't really know. I'm just making that up.
I have to say, Taylor, compared to other times when we've had you on for Apple announcements, you seem very underwhelmed.
Well, I was really hoping for 128 gig storage in the 5S, the new 5S, and it's not there. So I really have to pass until there's more storage. I'm not really drawn to the little bit better camera. And it's much faster. It's twice as fast as the 5. But I don't have any speed issues.
I have a question. When I came into the announcement, they were talking about some modification in the photo format where it's going to a square format. Is this something that caught your attention?
No, that's not true.
It's not true?
No.
Okay.
That's just Instagram is square. But
yeah, I know Instagram is square, but
they have a square mode
nothing.
For the camera? I mean, where you can shoot in square? Or do you?
Yeah, maybe they added a square mode that they didn't have before or something.
You mean in the native app? Possibly. I didn't see that part.
Yeah.
The camera's a little bit better. It will record 120 frames a second.
Oh, that's for slow-mo?
So you can get slow-mo, and you can choose for the slow-mo to be, and it'll delete the frames from the ones where you don't want the slow-mo. But that's still going to take more space, and there was a pretty good strong rumor that it would be 120 gig capacity, and it's not there. So that's why I'm underwhelmed.
Yeah, so all the rumors were much better than the actual deliverable, huh?
Well, at least that capacity rumor, which wasn't necessarily a big deal for most people.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. The Apple 5C iPhone. There was only iPhones today. There wasn't a whole bunch of
other
glitzware.
Yeah, the 5C is limited to 16 and 32. The S is 16, 32, and 64.
Mm-hmm.
And the S is new colors. They've got the black, traditional black. Then they've got the silver. And then they've got gold now, or champagne.
Let me just stop you here because it blows me away at how much the media attention is drawn to Apple when, like, a big part of what they're announcing is new colors. What other brand does this? Like, has a big private hoopla press conference and,
there's fingerprint recognition. It's not really the colors. It's fingerprint recognition, so you can be identified by your fingerprint. There's an A7 processor that's 64-bit.
Let's take it one.
That's a different model.
At a time, it's because
the 5S.
Yeah, it's the 5S. She was referring to the 5C.
Oh, okay. Well, the deal there is that they're able to lower the cost because they use a plastic back instead of the metal back that you would normally be buying the 5 with the metal, and that costs Apple more to make. So they can make a little bit more money by lowering the list price with a plastic back. But keeping the specs of the 5.
Aha. So C does mean cheap, and it does mean color, and it does mean that
China. Yeah, it means China. Apple's probably going to announce at 10 o'clock tonight, there's going to be a press conference in China,
uh-huh.
And they're probably going to announce a deal with China Mobile, which is the world's largest cell phone carrier. They have 700 million customers.
Oh, so maybe this particular press conference this morning was meant to underwhelm everybody, drive the stock price down, and then the press conference in China will put a little more fuel on the fire and it'll go back up again and everybody will make their nut on their trading.
Well, some people thought they were going to announce a deal with China today, but they didn't this morning, so that means they're going to wait to do it tomorrow at the press conference in Beijing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So Chinese will be able to send them free iOS text.
So anyway, I just wanted to say, let's just go one feature at a time.
Yeah,
because they all have their own little innuendos.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of the new stuff, like the fingerprint.
Well, the 5C is just the 5 specs. So it's still the A6 processor, and it's still the 8-megapixel camera, and it's still a single LED flash.
So one way to think about the 5C is it's very similar specs to the 5 that's out there now.
It's the same specs as the 5.
So for $100 cheaper, basically, with color. And how about the camera? Is it the same as the 5 now, too?
Uh-huh.
So the upgrade in the camera is only with the 5S.
Right.
Okay. All right, so the 5C is a nice replacement for the 5.
And there's a capacity limit of only 32. It's only available in 16 and 32 gigs.
So they're not doing 64 on the 5C?
No.
So if you're a power user, you got to upgrade to 5S.
Well, the 5S is twice as fast as the 5. It's got a 64-bit processor.
Yeah.
Huge increase in speed.
They say it's the first 64-bit on a cell phone.
That's right.
So that's
a big deal. If you don't have a 5, you're going to want the 5S for sure.
Yeah. So I'm upgrading from a 4S.
So you should be excited. But as a 5 owner,
Vampire.
I think I'm more interested in the 6 now. Or hopefully they do 128 gig storage before in the interim, like they did with the iPad last year.
Yeah. What about this fingerprint thing? Now, that looks to me like it could
company,
be a big deal, right?
Yeah, they bought a company that had fingerprint technology, sensor technology last year.
Yeah.
And now they've brought it to the phone. It's very exciting. You use your fingerprint instead of entering passcodes for when you buy stuff on the iTunes store and the App Store. So you won't be having to enter passcodes anymore at all with this fingerprint technology.
So no more memorizing and creating passwords.
Right. You use the password to set up the fingerprint, but once it's set up, you don't need to use the password anymore.
Uh-huh. But it gives you a choice of both, the password or the fingerprint as an option for getting into things. So you're not getting rid of the standard password.
I don't know about that,
approach.
But probably.
Yeah, that's what I've saw.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, my friends in security tell me, well, that doesn't really increase security at all because people can still hack your password and get in. So it's not like it's better. It's biometric security. It's
well, maybe you can turn off the password capability once you've got the fingerprint set up. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Then you can access your accounts from different machines, which, you know, I do all the time. I'm always accessing Amazon or Netflix, et cetera, from various devices. So it seems like it'll just allow me to do the password on the iPhone, which is a step forward. The other concern that people have had about that is, well, what's to stop the NSA from collecting everyone's fingerprints once that is? I mean, is Apple going to keep a database of people's fingerprints?
No, it's local. There is nothing with regard to the fingerprint that goes up to their servers or the iCloud servers. Nothing at all. They promise that.
Yeah, so it's all going to be local recognition.
On the device.
On your device. So it's only good for that device.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, the other spec that I'm looking for here is the 802.11ac.
Yeah, that's the new standard for Wi-Fi.
Right.
Which I don't think it has, right? From what I've been reading, it's not adopting that. They have LTE, or the new high-speed data access through Sprint and AT&T, but I haven't seen the AC specs for the iPhone 5S. I think they're doing G and N for that. It's a little arcane for some of you, but this is the speeds by which your Wi-Fi operates at. All right. The new standard, they say, will allow you to do 100 megabits per second, the LTE speeds that if you subscribe to data via Verizon or AT&T, you should be able to get up to 100 megabits download. So anyway, we're going to take a little break here. And,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and
you're right. It's limited to N.
Yeah, and we'll be right back. Any of you have any questions about these new Apple products, this next segment is the time to give us a call. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Taylor Barcroft in the studio on the new iPhones that are out today.
One other point that they announced, that you're now going to get iPhoto, iMovie, Keynote, Pages, and Numbers for free.
Now, that's interesting. That's a whole bunch of stuff that you usually pay as much as $9.99.
The Keynote, Pages, and Numbers were $20 each.
Whoa.
iPhoto and Movie were $5 each.
So you're getting...
So it's about $70.
Just right off the top of savings.
But that's only the new hardware, not just because you put iOS 7 on your older device.
Gotcha. So it's only on the 5S that happens.
And the 5C.
And the 5C? Really? You get all those apps on the 5C too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Pretty decent. The other thing that caught my attention on this was that the new 5S added another chip to the equation, the M7 chip.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's a motion sensing chip that will give the developers an opportunity to make more complex motion software capabilities available in their apps.
They say that, but I understand health uses.
There's going to be a new Nike Plus app for that, to take advantage of that.
So this brings in the realm of auto-logging your health parameters.
They're calling it the M7 motion coprocessor.
Right.
So we'll have to learn more about that from Ars Technica when they get their hands on it.
I know we got a gadget that's kind of like that. It was called the Shine that Mrs. Future here really liked.
Yes.
It sounds like they're building the Shine kind of capabilities directly into the new iPhone.
Oh, yeah. I want to tell everybody about the free Coast browser from Opera. It's a really great browser.
Okay, this is something that is...
free app on the App Store for anybody that's got an iOS device.
And you like it better than
Safari?
Well,
it's iPads only, not phones.
Really? iPads only. So you like it better than Safari or Chrome?
I wouldn't say better than Chrome, but most of the third-party web browsers are better than Safari.
Okay, even though Safari is the default that Apple gives you.
Right, but
yeah,
you know how that goes.
Okay. Now, let's look at the camera for a second. That's one of the things about these cell phones is that the cameras are getting better and better. Now, is Apple really hitting its mark?
Well, they dropped the aperture is now 2.2. I think it was 2.4. People were hoping for 2.0.
That gives it better low light capability.
Yeah, right low there, light. Right? So it's not as low as people were hoping for. It's still an 8-megapixel camera. There's some little bit improvements there in the processor. What,
I heard something about the light is a little different. It has got dual LEDs.
There's dual LEDs that give, they call it true tone flash, supposed to give it better skin tones. And
kind of flashes twice and adjusts.
No, it's two LEDs instead of one.
At the same time.
Come out at the same time, I think, as far as I know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we have to study more about it. People can stream the keynote from Apple.com, or they can get it from the Apple keynote podcast later today to see all that Apple presented, and then we'll just have to read more about it over the next few weeks.
So some slight improvements in the camera, but we'll see. And basically, we'll wait and see.
So we'll shoot 120 frames per second of video.
No, 120. Now, you see, the normal frames per second, folks, is usually about 30 or 29.97, as they say. So shooting at a lot higher frame rate allows you to slow down the video with decent
plays
resolution.
Plays back in slow motion, right?
Yeah.
They're letting you choose what part you want to be slow motion and what part you don't want to be slow motion, so you can delete the frames where you don't want slow motion, and then it'll play accordingly.
Mm-hmm. So you can shoot in high speed for a while and then delete what you don't want on the fly, I guess right after that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
Well, that is a whole area of evolution, is the whole camera on the devices. And it'd be interesting to see what kind of apps people develop with these new capabilities, these high speed.
They did add the ability to take stills while you're recording video.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sort of like what my Sony does.
Improve video stabilization. Well, we have apps for that already that do that, third-party apps.
Yeah. What about facial recognition or...
We've got face detection on the video side of the software.
Smile detection, anything like that? See, Sony's really
I think that's in some apps.
Some apps.
Some third-party apps have that smile detection, I believe.
By the way, I love that. I'd love to be able to shoot a video and then it takes still frames out of the video stream and shows them as separate images, usually really nice shots of people smiling. That, you know, it's just kind of cool.
Apple has in their software the ability to take 10 stills a second, and then it'll pick out the best ones.
So that's the burst mode? The new burst mode?
Yeah, burst mode.
Interesting.
But that's iOS 7. May or may not require the 5S. I don't know about that.
Well, the 5C, does it have burst mode as well? Or is this only on the 5S?
I think they're bragging about it on the 5S. The 120 frames a second they are. I'm not positive about the burst mode, whether or not that's
software
in both
or not,
cameras or not.
Yeah, because you would think that if it were in the software, then we should be able to upgrade the existing machines to that capability as well.
Well, at least the 5s.
Right, and maybe the 4S. Do you
no,
think so?
I don't think the 4S, no.
But they are keeping the 4S in there, right, in the lineup.
Yeah? You think they are?
Yeah, that's what I remember.
16 gig only?
Well, it's kind of like the new low end. It's
or
like,
zero, huh? No
yeah,
money?
Yeah, it's like the free one.
16 gig for free. Yeah, that might be. You might be right about that.
Because the 5C is $99 at their entry point. So
okay.
Makes sense that
right.
You'd have some kind of free.
1 3.5-inch holdover.
Right, yeah. So you yourself aren't going to upgrade, right? You're going to wait until the 6 at this point, which will probably be a year.
I don't know. If they have a 128-gig model, I would definitely pull the trigger on that. Mm-hmm. But these features are not compelling enough for me to want to do it.
What about the fingerprint reader? Don't you want to lose your password?
Yeah, I don't care about that. I got a password that's super easy to remember.
Mm-hmm. You're happy with it?
Yeah. Once you put it in, it's good for 15 minutes. And any time you do anything else within that 15 minutes, good for that additional 15 minutes. So
it's
not really much of an issue, I don't think. Depends on the person. You know, some people have a lot of really
You teach a lot of elderly how to use computers, right?
Right.
Now, a lot of them forgetting their passwords all the time.
That's true. Yeah,
so it might be better for them.
That's true. Yeah, I teach over at the Loudoun Nelson Center, iOS and OS 10.
He'll
be coming teaching iOS 7. There have been articles written that the iOS 7 is going to confuse a lot of established users, especially those that are casual users of iOS 5 or 6, that iOS 7 may throw a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm. That's the operating
system.
Because
it is so different.
Really,
yeah, it is quite a bit different in the way you do basic things on it. So, you know, there's good opportunity for teaching there.
Yeah, so it allows you to teach some more over at Loudoun Nelson.
Right.
If anyone wanted to know more about your classes, are they for newbies?
Yeah, the Senior Computer Center at Loudoun Nelson Center is just call up Loudoun Nelson Center. They can tell you more about it. iOS 7 is only good for the 4, the 4S, the 5, And, of course, the new ones, the 5S and 5C. And on the iPad, it's iPad 2, 3, 4, and the new iPad 5, which is coming out next month. We'll see that. It's going to go from the iPad is currently a pound and a half. It'll be a pound, 1 pound full iPad.
I mean, it's getting lighter,
the iPad? Yeah, it's going to get super lighter, way lighter. So
wow. And the same
we'll be
size,
back to talk about that next month.
Yeah, so
I'm more excited about that now than I am about these phones.
Okay, well, because the iPad is really the place where you like to spend most of your screen real estate time.
I do spend most of my time on the iPad, yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, what about the iWatch? Any thoughts about when that's going to come out? Or is that just purely speculation?
I think it's another year.
Really? They're going to wait a year?
Well, I don't know if they're – no, they're not waiting. They're working hard on it, but I don't think it'll be ready for another year. If sooner the better, of course, but –
That's your guesstimate at this point in time. Huh?
Yeah, there's no compelling reason to think it won't be before.
Well, Samsung did a shot across the bow with theirs last week.
Yeah, it has a battery life of 1 day. That's not going to work. I got an iPad here. It has a battery life of 3 weeks. It's drained the battery on the – or it's unplugged it, rather, on the 1st of September. And here it is, what, the 10th? And it says 34%.
What, you haven't charged your iPad for how long?
Not since the 1st of September.
Really?
It says 34%.
Wow.
Is that because you're not using it very much?
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is my 64. Well.
You got a 128 sitting in.
Yeah, I use a 128 more often.
Yeah, but you like long battery life. Bottom line is that you're looking for the decent battery life on the gadgets, and the Samsung iWatch, not iWatch, the Samsung watch just doesn't do it for you.
Look, from my point of view, Samsung is run by a bunch of gangsters. As far as I'm concerned, they're an illegal company. They're getting away with murder. They're getting away with theft. They're just evil. Nobody should be buying any Samsung anything. They're bad people. They are really bad people. They're unscrupulous.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I'm putting it out there. I think they are really just nasty people that shouldn't be supported in any way, shape, or form.
No. So that's Apple versus Samsung has been a big deal in the news quite a bit lately. So
yeah, I wonder why. Look at the way the Samsung gadgets looked before the iPhone came out, and then look at what they look like after the iPhone came out.
And they had a lot of deals between them for a while, and evidence suggests that.
I'm probably on the extreme end of the opinion about Samsung, but
yeah, the interesting thing there is that I've been reading articles about how people want to say, well, how can we invest in Samsung? And apparently it's hard because they're not listed on the New York Stock Exchange like Apple. As an American, it's hard to get Samsung stock, interestingly enough. Any other final thoughts on the Apple products before we leave this talk?
I wish the gold was available with a black face. I saw photographs of gold with a black face, and they look great. That's a good combination, black and gold.
So it really is all about the colors. It's all about the colors for
the latest
round of Apple groupies. Okay.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying that it wouldn't hurt to offer it with a black face because that goes well with gold or champagne or whatever you want to call it. It's not really a hard gold. It's a light gold.
So, Taylor, I know in the past I always think of you as somebody who had at least one of every Apple product. Have you let go of that status? Are you more selective now about which ones you actually keep?
Well, yeah, I didn't buy the new Nano because it didn't have a clip. I mean, this is the 16-gig Nano with the clip is really the ultimate Nano.
Has Apple taken any features away from any of their products?
Yeah, they took the clip away from the Nano last year.
That's reminding me, but in terms of the iPhone or in terms of things that they're doing with the operating system, is the new Apple doing anything that you find objectionable?
Yeah, I think iTunes 11 is a disaster. Up through iTunes 10, you could always open the iTunes store in a separate window, and that was important, especially if you edit tags like I do all the time. And now you can't do that. You double-click on the iTunes store in the iTunes interface, and nothing happens. And I think that's huge. That tells me that the people that run the iTunes software don't really use it. Because the inability to open the iTunes store in a separate window is just absolutely ludicrous. So that's my pet peeve.
Okay, well, let's...
So do you feel as loyal to Apple now that it's being run by Tim Cook as you did in the Steve Jobs days?
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Looking forward to the Mac Pro and the new iPad 5. I don't think I'm going to be interested in the Mini Retina because I like a bigger screen.
Yeah, you like the full-sized iPad.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Mini.
And if it's a pound, I mean, I'll like
you can hold that.
And I've always got a backpack with me. I don't have to put it in my pocket, so.
Right. Okay, well, to summarize, the 5S, it costs the same as the contracts for the iPhone 5 now. It did a launch $199 for the 16 gig, $299 for the 32, $399 for the 64. And alas, there is no 128.
You know, the carriers have come around as far as not locking you into contract anymore.
Yeah?
All the carriers now offer you the ability to pay for the phone
separately
over time without getting stuck in a contract. So they let you upgrade after a year if you pay the balance of the, like AT&T, for example, they'll divide it into 20 payments of the retail price, which is $657, $58.50 plus tax.
I see. So an additional $450 above the contract price.
Right. But they don't charge you interest. So it's a pretty good deal. You know, they split that up and just tack that on to the monthly bill, and it's a little bit more painless.
Well, that's interesting.
I'll just take another quick break here.
Okay, just the 5C, it's $99 for the cheap 16 gig for a two-year contract. That's the brightestly colored ones, and it goes on sale September 20th.
Oh, and by iOS 7 is going to be available a week from tomorrow, the 18th of September, and that's for the iPhone 4, 4S, 5, and the iPad 2, 3, 4.
Perfect.
Okay, folks.
So it is going to be available for iPad next Wednesday. Some people thought it was going to be another month, but no,
it's all coming down.
All coming down at the same time. And the fifth generation iPod Touch, of course.
Of course.
All right.
But only the fifth generation.
That's it. So that's our Apple wrap-up for today's breaking news.
See you in a month.
Yeah.
See you in a month.
And thank you, Taylor.
Thank you.
After the break on the Dr. Future Show. Be right back.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. A couple of other things I think you folks might appreciate is that there is a new WikiTube plugin for Chrome that allows you to combine Wikipedia and YouTube. Both YouTube and Wikipedia are just bursting with useful information, and WikiTube brings them together to make your research and investigations more efficient. The extension is really simple. You install it in your Chrome browser, and every Wikipedia article will have a handful of embedded YouTube movies just lined up at the top of the article. Works pretty well. The videos tend to be relevant to what your search from what I've seen so far. And if you want to see more videos, they have a little big red plus sign to the right of the video bar and that you can click, and it'll load you up with more recommendations. You probably won't watch all the videos, but occasionally you might find something there that might be relevant to your search. So I thought that was quite engaging. It's the WikiTube plugin, and we have a link on our webpage. You can go to the drfutureshow.com/links page and click on that, and you'll get that for you. And also, it's kind of interesting, I don't know how many of you subscribe to Netflix, but you're kind of familiar with the all-you-can-eat model there for movies. Well, there's a new service coming online shortly called Oyster. Yes, Oyster. This is a book subscription app that wants to do for books what Netflix did for movies, or Spotify for music. It provides you all-you-can-read experience for $9.95 a month. There you can download and read titles from a number of publishers. They're working on increasing the number of publishers, but right now they're working with HarperCollins, Workman, Melville House, and Houghton Mifflin, Harcourt so far. They've got about 100,000 titles in their mix, and they're working to procure more publishing companies to add to its roster.
Yeah, Netflix is always such a interesting company, huh? So are they trying to get into the Kindle market?
This is a company called Oyster, which is doing a similar deal with books that Netflix did with movies. That was the reference.
Sorry. That's so funny. I was very confused there. I thought Netflix and Oyster were affiliated.
No, they're totally separate. The Oysters works with a team of venture capitalists that include Peter Thiel and Sean Parker. Okay, those are both characters
in the
high-tech world. Sean Parker was in the movie.
Sean Parker. So
their group's called Founders Fund, which is a team of venture capitalists. And they kind of are building quite a bit of excitement around it. They're rolling out invitations starting a couple days ago. We have a link to the Oyster site so you can get yourself on the waiting list for the All You Can Read Book Club for $9.95 a month. Should be interesting. I wonder what reader they're going to use so that you can delve deeply into the books, you know, whether or not it's going to be as good as Kindle Reader. Kind of like the Kindle Reader. I like being able to change the fonts and the background from sepia to white, or white on black, or black on white. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I guess the Netflix model is you return the book when you're done with it so that you're only checking it out for a little bit of time during
Well, no, that's with the plastic discs, right?
Right?
But Netflix, as is with this, you don't have any tangible thing. You just have, it's
streaming.
Like the movies. Streaming, yeah, you're just streaming your books. So I would assume maybe the books don't download. Maybe you're just streaming the books and you don't actually own a copy of the book. Be interesting to see how that unravels here.
Yeah.
Unfolds, perhaps, might be a more appropriate term.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of finding the new medium. Is it a book? Is it a standalone product? Is it a license to watch? Is it a streaming thing? What is it?
It's free access. Actually, it's $9.95 access.
Right. There you go. Yeah. It's your own private open ticket for whatever you want to play today.
My guess is that you can't download it, that it's going to be something that you just look at from your device.
Right.
But I could be wrong there.
With Netflix, if you start watching a movie and you get partway through it, mm-hmm. and you decide you want to come back later, how is it handled?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. One other thing here, is the complete works of Chopin are going to be available for free for everybody.
Oh, yeah. This is a very interesting article in terms of a modern age problem for the internet generation, because you've got uncopyrighted works like the compositions of Chopin from mm-hmm. 200 years ago.
160 years ago.
160 years ago.
Sufficiently long enough that his compositions should belong to the public domain.
And yet, classical music lovers cannot get them for free. And why is that?
Well, a little wrinkle in the public domain, the one that commonly plagues classical works, actually. While the music is technically in the public domain, you're free to play it and perform it and record it however you want. Recordings of these public domain works tend to be copyrighted.
Right, because the copyright refers to the container. It's not about the author of the music. It's about who recorded it.
Mm-hmm. They have the copyright.
And they have the copyright for that recording. And so people don't get to listen to the composition unless the copyright holder who recorded it makes it available.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So a Kickstarter project called Set Chopin Free is releasing Chopin recordings from their copyright cell.
How are they doing that? How are we setting Chopin free?
So far, they raised over, they're trying to raise $75,000 by Sunday, October 20th. With that $75,000, they will hire musicians, some of the best Chopin pianists in the world, and they'll record and release to the public under what's called the Creative Commons license, the entirety of Chopin's life's work, about 245 pieces. So if you're doing a production, if you're making a movie, writing a Wikipedia page or a blog post, and you want to use some Chopin music, you'll have a place to turn to for that. This is all done by a guy named Aaron Dunn. It's his second project along these lines. He had created a company called Muse Open, which is a nonprofit dedicated to creating free public domain music resources. His first Kickstarter project was about 3 years ago. He raised $68,000, which crushed the $11,000 goal, I might add, that he was aiming for. He got $68,000 to create public domain recordings of a huge list of classical compositions, such as Beethoven's Third Symphony, four Brahms symphonies, Bach's Goldberg Variations, two Mozart string quartets, etc. And those were all completed last summer, are available online for you to peruse and to use for your various projects.
Yeah, it's really a breakthrough to think of the public domain this way, as how can somebody who really appreciates the music do something in the original spirit of the internet and make it available for free to whoever wants to enjoy it, for a very small cost that can be crowdsourced and publicly funded, that copyright can be made available publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think people should pay attention to this, and we should have a lot more projects that are like this, where classical works that are really treasures for the public can be hosted by somebody who values them and made available to the public.
Yeah, I think so. I think what Dunn has done also is identified musicians that he can work with to create these containers, I guess you might call, for these works so that they are publicly available.
Yeah.
And there's still... The people he hired might not be as good as the Philadelphia Philharmonic, for example, which will still charge you for their version of the music. But hopefully they'll be reasonably good.
Yeah. Well, this article talks about how the classical music industry has been so resistant, like all the big players in the music industry, to really taking advantage of how popular the internet is, to use that to publicize and get support for their works. They're still in this old model of, like, if somebody doesn't pay me to play, somebody doesn't pay for my recording, then I won't be supported as a musician. And they're really failing to value the increased awareness that people have when they have access to things for free.
It is. It's a whole new way of thinking about music and sharing. And it actually creates more abundance, not less. There's a fear that there's less.
Yeah. But, well, especially Wall Street does its best to make sure that abundance is really out of reach of the common person, so that the only abundant people have so much money they don't know what to do with. And of course, then they're the ones who are patronizing the arts and creating the scarcity among the musicians.
Yeah, it's self-perpetuating mythology.
Yeah. And what we really need is for people to make more things available for free anyway, because people have free time. And they want to do things that are fun, and they don't always want to have to pay for it.
Right.
So, anyway, that's all very interesting. What else do you have for us here?
One more thing before we go to our break.
Top of the hour.
Yes. We have a very interesting piece on how touch goes digital.
Uh-huh.
I won't go into too great detail about this. If we're going to take a caller, I won't
all
go
right,
into too much detail.
Let's say hello to Wendy and Ben Lomond. Hi, Wendy. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, both of you. I'm glad you brought up getting stuff out there for free, because people are so scared of doing what, well, business has done for time eternal, getting out free samples. You
yeah.
want to get those people addicted to what you're selling, and they're not going to know if they like it until they try it. And you get a follower, and they're going to spend money, but they got to find you first. And even if they don't have money, and someone downloaded it for free, well, there's rules against that. People who follow rules follow rules. People who don't, well, they tell people who follow rules that they like it. So I think it's a win-win situation.
Well, thanks, Wendy. Yeah, I think what's so great is that there is this new class of sharing laws that, as long as everybody who puts the thing together agrees to make their recording, make their work available, then there's no problem. And so it's really about the people who want to sponsor the work being on board with making it publicly available.
I think timing is what's important, because when you want to get, when you want a free share, you want to make sure you got some merchandising or some other product in the back to sell to these people when they get excited.
Good point. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about the open source movement, is that the stuff you're giving away for free is things that can be easily copied and easily shared. And the way that turns into support for the artist is through their name becoming well known, their work becoming well known, people showing up to their events, people showing up to offer them opportunities to
do live
get
performances.
Paid.
Uh-huh. And in this case, the artists actually get paid from the Kickstarter project that's financing the show.
That's a good thing, too. Yeah. And we got to, if you go to Mel Brooks and good old Spaceballs,
yes.
As Yogurt said, the money in the movies and the merchandising.
Merchandising. Yes,
merchandising.
It is.
What they say in Hollywood, it's the number of butts in the seat, I think they describe it.
Absolutely. Or T-shirts on the back.
That's it. That's great. You sound right. Very knowledgeable about this, Wendy. Are you in merchandising yourself?
Well, kind of here, there, everywhere. I go back with an extremely large corporation, so I got in on really big, large corporate merchandising a long, long time ago. But, you think about these things as time goes on. I have some work, and basically I'm at that point where you love to share it, you love to share it, you love to share it, but you don't have anything to sell after you share it. And so that's where I think a lot of people are now, and getting the picture together, where you get your free stuff out there, but you got to be able to have something to follow it up and make a living on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big model with in-app purchases in the Apple Store.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where the app is free, and if you want some extra features, you'll pay 99 cents for that or for various plugins. That seems to be working pretty well for people. Most of the money they're making is that way, having a free product and then having plugins that cost money.
I've noticed with some of that, I don't like so much with a lot of the games and things where it's basically pay to cheat. I think you'd probably do a lot better when you get these kids motivated. If they know that their parents can buy the other kid, you know, a bunch of free coins or something to win the game,
the
popularity goes way down. But I know with my son, I needed Angry Birds merchandising so much earlier than they had it available.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could, you know, and to have the whole package ready when these things come out, because when they hit hard and fast, and it's speed. We're talking days sometimes of immense popularity.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the Plants versus Zombies stuff?
Yeah, really.
You know, they fall down on backing things up a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep it competitive. These are still games. And I like when you can, you know, buy some extra things in the game. And I like free samples. I like you getting in there and play a little bit and then buy the game.
We got to go for this news, so.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate your call.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Folks, and
bye-bye.
This is the Dr. Future Show on KSEO, and we will be back in just a moment.
Foreign Minister says.